David Pitsir, I'm the National Operations Manager for the Ministry of Civil Defence and Emergency Management.
Hey John, he's been on the ground for about half an hour. Can you tell us what the latest is from here?
Right, so as you know, state of national emergency has been declared this morning. So that changed the game slightly in the sense that us from national now takes control of the response. We will do with that in conjunction and working aligned with the local civil defence people. So this afternoon, the Director of Civil Defence, John Hamilton, and a small team from here will deploy to Christchurch. They will be positioned at the Civil Defence Emergency Management Group, where they will be working alongside them, and of course with the council, with Christchurch City Council. The idea is not at all that of taking over. It is government demonstrating its intent of working better and closer with the local response. So you can expect a national action plan to be developed as led by the Director of Civil Defence, and under that we will have our local plans dovetailing with the national plan. People on the ground will not see any difference. We're not doing our business any difference. It's just a way of working better together.
How many people are we talking about being deployed from around the country to go to the help the local response?
Well, that just adds up all the time. Right now we have, I don't have the numbers in my head, but hundreds more defence and police personnel have been deployed since last night. We have the additional urban search and rescue crews still turning up from overseas. Those teams are about 70 people strong each, coming with heavy equipment and even dogs. We're deploying local response teams from other councils in New Zealand. That's happening right now. We have 7 teams on the way. They're normally about 15 people strong. And then on top of that, we are in the process of mobilizing the types of building inspectors and engineers to help with site inspections. We're working through that right now in support of other councils again. We're looking at sewage crews from other councils to send down, as well as staff to help staff the operation centers down there. So, you know, it just adds up. We're pouring in whatever we can and what is needed.
Can you give us any update on the CTV building and the Pine Gold building, how those rescue attempts are going?
Still underway, as you know. These specialist urban search and rescue teams have their specialist ways of working through those buildings. Unfortunately, it may appear a painstakingly slow process, but that is the way it has to be. They have to take into consideration all safety issues, find the people first, locate them, and then work out what is the best way to reach them. They're well trained and specialized in what they do. These international teams coming in are trained along the same standards, so they all know the task in the same way, and they can work together. To answer your question, so rescue activities are still underway in those buildings. We should not expect that to be completed tonight. It will be completed as these teams work their way through it. They will not stop before it's finished. We can just hope that they find people in time.
Is there someone alive in both buildings?
I cannot confirm that. I have to assume the fact that the teams are still focusing on those buildings will indicate that they have a good hope of getting finding people alive.
Why isn't the media being given the full information about the numbers that have been found dead and the numbers of people that they know are alive and are potentially missing? Why aren't we getting that full information released to the media?
The numbers that we're providing to the media in terms of the dead is what we receive from police, and in terms of the people that are in mortuary and that have been certified. And we distinguish then again between those that have been certified dead and that they have in the mortuaries and those that have actually been identified. So that number still officially stands at 75 dead and 55 identified.
But you've got information about the numbers that are potentially missing in particular places and presumed dead. As we know in Christchurch Cathedral, for example, it's estimated that about 20 people are dead in there. You've got that information. Why isn't it being released to the media?
I do not have that information, so I can't answer your question. I can only assume that, you know, we know what we know on the ground in terms of what we're told that where people should be. Honestly, I just can't answer you on that one.
How confident are you about fresh water supplies getting to people who are outside the central city? I mean, we've heard reports of queues and some are 400 long waiting and water's not turning up and they're all pretty thirsty.
Yeah, so water containers and trucks are being ferried into schools. We are assessing the need. We have offers again from international that we have to work through with the local councils in terms of them being able to receive that and where to place that. We're working through those issues. If there are such problems, we certainly will look at them and we hope to alleviate them.
With John Hamilton going down across, what difference does it make to the operation here? Would you be giving regular briefings to the media still, or what does it all shift down there?
No, it's a part of it shifts down there in terms of the overall control. We will keep on doing here what we do, that is coordinating the national angle of the response. All support to the local areas go through us here. We will, of course, take our direction from John Hamilton, the director in Christchurch. But as I said earlier, you will not notice a difference on the ground, really, in terms of how we perform our response.
Will you release a national plan, or will it basically just be kind of a rolling wall of things?
No, it can be released.
When will it be released?
Well, they will, as I say, you know, they're deploying down there this afternoon. They will then sit with the local authorities and work, develop a plan. You can expect a plan by tomorrow, I assume.
So are troops perhaps, like in Wairuru and that kind of thing, are they mobilising at the moment? I mean, what's happening around the country that is getting ready for a shift down to Christchurch to help?
It's happening. It's not a matter of getting ready, it's happening. Whatever is required, we're mobilising from here and it's being sent out. We've established an air bridge this morning between Christchurch and Wellington with the purpose of getting people that do not need to be in Christchurch, in particular visitors, out of there, bringing them to Wellington where they're received and being channeled further. The intent of that is to free up accommodation space in Christchurch, which is one of our challenges. We need to be mindful. It's one thing to mobilise people and send them down, but they must be able to be accommodated and received at the other end. So we need to match the two up, and that's one of our challenges that we're working through, is to find appropriate accommodation.
So in that bridge, can you just explain a little bit about what that means? Does that mean that there are flights to and fro
yes. The
rest of the day?
So we have a Defence 757 flying up and down all day from between Christchurch and Wellington, taking people out that want to get out, and taking response people back in.
What will we see within this action plan that's being prepared today?
What will we see?
Yeah.
Well, it will set the strategic direction to start with, set the priorities for a specific operational period as they determine what that would be, probably a day or two out. And then under that, the councils will develop their own plans that will talk towards those priorities. So it just ensures that everything is in sync and everybody responds from the same page.
In regards to the air bridge, are you saying that there are more people needed in Christchurch, but there's nowhere for them to stay, so they can't go down yet?
That is one of the challenges that we're working through, is finding appropriate accommodation for the people that are required, yes. So, with that, we would strongly advise people that do not need to be in crisis not to try to get there. There are issues with the hotels being able to accommodate people due to utility problems that they experience. So we need to really open up whatever space there is for the people that really need to be there.
Are there flights to Auckland as well?
Sorry, say that again?
Are there flights to Auckland as well?
There are other defence aircraft transporting response teams in particular that operate to other centres, in particular Avakia and Auckland. And yes, as they return, they can ferry out people to other centres.
And how many people are we talking about getting out of Christchurch today?
These flights can take up to 100 people per flight. So I have to take it that they take four carriages per flight. I've been in touch with our Wellington colleagues. They have set up a centre at Wellington Airport today where they're receiving those people, and they, as I said earlier, they're channeling them further from there. Some just need to be directed where to go, be brought into the centre. Others need more assistance. Some have lost passports. They're being connected with their embassies or high commissions, and we've sorted in that way.
So how do people get on this platform?
There are announcements out and public information out in Christchurch. Those people need to report to one of the two evacuation centres, either Hagley Park or the Burnside School, and they are being channelled from there to the airport.
Does that mean anyone who wants to get out of Christchurch can basically get a ride up to Wellington?
Basically, but they will have to then find accommodation on this side, of course. This is really focused on taking care of visitors that need to get out, and as I said, with the prime purpose of opening up accommodation. You may find that there are people that just ride their luck on that, but we're not going to sort that out and try to shake them off.
You've put out a request for families to billet people essentially. What's that response been like?
To billet people?
Mm.
We are actually setting up a website for any offers of assistance. What we strongly discourage is offers of goods. We simply cannot manage, physical stuff. There are not processes for that in place. Those need to be warehoused. They need to be distributed. If people want to make donations, we advise that they do it in cash. And I can point them to the existing Red Cross fund that was set up for the previous earthquake that is still up and running. That would be the best way to offer assistance. We're setting up a website. If there are other kinds of support in services or accommodation, for instance, that people can offer, we're working through that, and there will be public information on that as soon as it's established.
Has there been a big response, though? Have you got any idea of how many people have offered a bed for these people?
Yes, so we're getting inundated, really, with offers of this end, and that is why we identified the need to establish some other mechanism for it, where people can register directly what they have. The local authorities can view that there and can touch base with them directly.
When will that be ready?
Probably by later today.
Coming out of Christchurch, there have been some reports that rescue attempts at buildings where potentially there was a focus have been abandoned. Have you been informed of any of that?
Abandoned by rescue teams?
No,
I do not have information on that. In terms of my experience of how these teams work, as I say, they would do the assessments, and they will identify first those buildings, structures where they have the best possibility and chance of saving people. And they will focus their first energies there. As we get more teams on the ground, of course, the potential to more structures can spread.
So does that mean that if sniffer dogs aren't picking up signs of life, they're getting out of there?
It's only one of the means that they use. They will do just physical inspections first. They will take account of eyewitnesses accounts, in terms of do people know that there are people in there. Sometimes people may confirm that, they will allow the person to leave or something like that. And also, of course, depending on the extent of the damage, how difficult is it to get in there. So they need to focus, where their chances are best.
Do you know much about the telecommunications and the power situation?
Yes, still significant power outages. We are working with the power companies, Orion in particular. Defence is ready to provide them with support in terms of transporting generators and the transformers from Auckland. We're just awaiting their specific requests, and then we can deal with that. Communications is mostly restored. We still advise people not to use cell phones in particular unnecessarily, rather use texting. We need to be mindful that most of the cell sites are running on batteries or generators at the moment, and the capacity there, of course, is limited.
When's your next briefing?
We have to speak to my public information people.
All right, thank you for having me.
We are aiming for hourly, but we'll keep you updated.
Okay, great, thank you.